Brutal, written by Mandasu Heller and read by Colleen Prendergast.
Prologue.
What are you going to do?
The man asked, staring in horror at the wispy hair sticking out of the top of the rolled-up quilt the two men had carried into the room. Shut it, the smaller of the pair hissed, dropping his end of the bundle and shoving him forcefully down onto a chair. Then, turning to his mate, who was carefully setting down his end, he said, Quit fucking about and go and fetch the chainsaw. The pigs are waiting to be fed. The seated man's face drained of blood when he realised what was about to happen, and his heart was pounding so hard he thought he might faint.
Please don't do this, he croaked. It's barbaric.
I thought I told you to shut it, the smaller one roared, kicking him and the chair over. Pack it in, the other man snapped. We haven't got time for this. If you're going to do it, get on with it. Flashing him a dirty look, the small one pushed past him and made his way outside.
Please don't let him do it,
the man begged as he hauled himself up off the floor.
You're not like him, and I know you don't agree with any of this. But it's not too late to start over. I've got money. I can help you. You just need to...
Oi, dickhead, don't be telling him what he needs to do, the smaller one sneered, walking back in at that exact moment and kicking the door shut behind him. He'll do as he's told, same as you. Now quit snivelling like a little bitch and start this fucker up. He shoved the rusted chainsaw he was carrying into the man's hands. You'll be doing the honours, he said, grinning nastily. And no funny business, or the grunts will be getting double rations tonight. Part 1 Chapter 1 Joe Cooper waved the last of the guests off from the porch of her parents' farmhouse. Once the car's taillights had faded into the distance, she gazed at the bleak landscape on the other side of the lane. A low-lying mist lent a sinister atmosphere to the moorlands, and she shivered as she remembered the terror she had always felt whenever she'd had to walk home after dusk when she was younger, convinced that the twisted trees with their leafless, claw-like branches were going to come to life and drag her off the path. The front door creaked open behind her, and Jo smiled as her father came out to join her. At 60, Frank Peters was still a handsome man, but the dim bulb above their heads highlighted the silver strands in his once jet-black hair and deepened the shadows framing his kind grey eyes. "You look tired," she said, slipping her arm through his.
"I am," he admitted. "It's been a long day."
"Nice, though."
"Aye, it was," Frank agreed, gazing out into the gloom. "Looks like summer's coming to an early end."
"You're not kidding. It's absolutely freezing," said Jo. "Let's go back in and have a brew, eh?"
As her dad went back into the living room, where her brother Evan was lounging on the sofa in front of the open fire, Jo headed into the kitchen to make the drinks. Every surface of the usually orderly room was littered with used paper plates and plastic glasses, and the old oak table was covered with disposable silver trays bearing the remnants of curling sandwiches, half-eaten sausage rolls, and wilted salad from the buffet. Her mum's apron, still dusty with flour from the last pie she'd baked, was hanging on the back of the door. And a wave of sadness washed over Jo when she realised she would never again taste her mother's cooking or share a pot of tea and a gossip with her over this table. Determined not to start crying again, because it felt as if that was all she'd been doing for the last few weeks, Jo glanced at the clock hanging above the window. It was almost 9 p.m, and she bit her lip when she realised that she'd forgotten to ring her husband, Sam, to check that he and their 5-year-old daughter had got home all right. This was the first night she had ever spent away from Emily, and even though she knew that Sam was more than capable of looking after her, she still felt guilty that she hadn't been there to tuck her in.